Senator Russell on 9-2.
Dick. Yes, sir. These folks I met with them this morning after they'd had the night to think it over, and they haven't got any ideas or any plans or any program or anything except Bobby Kennedy says turn the seamen loose and hold the boats. And they want to put out a little statement that we'd give him 24 hours to turn the water on. If he didn't, we'd supply our own water. And I told him to hell with that. That was too innocuous to say that we would. I wanted to give them a list of alternatives and for them to work on them during the day and talk to the Joint Chiefs, which they had had a meeting, but they were fuzzy. They didn't know what to do. They thought we ought to move some Marines from the West Coast. And I told them to get back in that meeting. Then I told McNamara to call you this afternoon before our next meeting, which will be at 4:30. About 3 o'clock to call you and go over with you the alternatives, because I valued your judgment and then your feel of the public pulse too, and the sentiment of the Congress, all of it wrapped up in one, and to exchange viewpoints with you, give you his viewpoint, and get yours before he comes to the meeting. So he's got a little guts. He's the only one in the meeting that does. He and Tom Mann have a little, but
I ain't just bent on bloodshed and warfare right now down there, as some people probably are,
no.
Mr. President. Of course, I don't think we can afford to take a cringing position.
No, best thing that I could suggest to them after they'd met from 9 to 10 before I joined them, I suggested to them that they'd see every act that we could take. And that we come back this afternoon and we say we had a contract with this company, which has been nationalized by Castro, that Castro has violated and in effect canceled. And therefore, we're going to make our base independent of Cuba. We can't rely on him for water, and we can't rely on him for anything else. We know that. So he's got 3,000 employees there, and we're going to staff the thing ourselves. We're going to furnish our own water ourselves, and we're going to make this a base that's independent, and we not only intend to operate independently, but we intend to operate it, period. And maybe anything else that they can think of that we could do. We go to searching ships. Why, that's an act of war, although we're trying to get Venezuela to ask us to come into their waters, inspect some of these shipments. We're trying to get the OAS to ask us to go in and do it. But that takes time, and we can't do it today, and they're going to expect their government to react today. And my guess is the best reaction we can have today is to say that we're going to operate this base independent of him. We're going to furnish our own water. We're going to furnish our own people. We're going to cut him off about $7-8 million a year cash that we financed him. I told him to get old Khrushchev and tell him that this man's playing a mighty dangerous game with his marbles. I told him to tell the British and tell the French that this is a serious matter with us, and if they just want to keep on sicking them on and agging them on, they're going to get our people in such shape that we're going to have a pretty difficult time operating with them. I told him, let's not just say in one hand we're going to cut down on our shipments to Castro and then ship him $7 million a year ourselves in cash for his people. Even though some of these people are good people, let's just let them go on back to Cuba and find jobs over there. Let him feed them out of Russian money. Let's don't feed them ourselves and let them be taking this cash back every night. And I think those two steps...
Well, the most important one of all is the manner in which that message will be relayed to Khrushchev. It should be made perfectly clear to him that this man is irrational, and that there will be a limit to our patience, and that if he keeps on, that we'll have no alternative but to take some very affirmative steps there. And that it would be very tragic if he were to support a man who would be doing things to us that he would not tolerate himself under the same conditions. So I hope they make that perfectly clear to him. Remind him of Hungary a little bit while they're talking to him.
Can you think now of anything else that can be done? Does that appear to be enough to show them that we are firm and decisive, that we are going to supply our own water, that we are going to supply our own people, and we're getting rid of them?
I suppose so. There'll be some criticism, of course.
The New York Times.
Not in the country about it.
New York.
The New York Times will support you on that. Day.
No, the New York Times won't want us to take a dime away from them. They think we ought to be feeding Cuba.
Well,
so will the Washington Post.
You can't. No, I don't think they'll go that far.
Damn near it. They'll say you're being punitive and you're penalizing these poor people. Now, I don't think we ought to do it for that reason. I think the public reason ought to be that we've got to have our own people and we've got to be secure and we've got to be independent, and their people are not dependable if their water's not dependable.
There are about 2,000 or 3,000 of those people that live on our base there.
500 and there are 3,000 at work.
Well, I'd make it perfectly clear that those 500, if they want to sever their Cuban nationality and not go back, that I'd keep them there.
Mm-hmm.
Spend their money on the base.
Yeah. Now, can you think of anything else?
Not right now, no.
Does that appear to you to be enough?
Well,
we've got to be firm.
As much as we can do, it's more in the way you said and worded than anything else. That could be worded one way where it wouldn't sound like it's near enough. It could be sounded another way, worded another way, it'd sound like it's a very firm statement, and I'm sure that your boys down there can do that.
Now, what do you think we ought to tell them while we're waiting for these other things?
Tell them that we are analyzing any step that might be taken to fully protect the American rights in the Guantanamo base.
Now, they, you know, they got them in a little 10-foot square cell down there and no bunks and all that kind of stuff. I told them I thought they ought to try to treat them decently and humanitarianly, because I don't think that does us any good to have them locked up in a 10-foot cell giving them no food or no place to sleep, stuff like that.
You mean with the ones that don't go back?
No, these 28 fishermen that Florida's got under.
I
think it's a damn fool thing to pick them up. What they ought to have done, the Coast Guard ought to told them to get the hell out of here and let them out instead of turning them over to Florida. And they've been fishing there up to the last few years constantly. Nobody bothered them.
Well, that's too late now. You can't afford to turn them loose right now.
No.
Look like you're surrendering to Castro's demand.
Yes, I think that's right. But the only thing we got is we seize the ship, fine them $500. I don't think it's good to try to starve them to death.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I'd give them
like treat their own prisoners.
I'd go, well, they treat their own prisoners, I guess, in Florida that way. They got no bunk, I know it, but in this county jail down there, in this place in Florida, Key West, they've got no bunks in the cell.
Is that right?
Yeah, hell yes. I guess they treat them like we treated drunks in Texas.
Well, I expect to hear from McNamara then.
All right.
Mr. President. I've got